Morning Watch, an overview of the central burden and present truth of the Lord's recovery before his appearing. Week 11. The divine human incorporation of the consummated God with the regenerated believers. The issue of Christ being glorified by the Father with the divine glory. Tuesday. Related verses. John 12, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Acts 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45b. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Philippians 1, verse 19. For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Acts 13, verse 33. That God has fully fulfilled this promise to us, their children, in raising up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, "You are my Son. This day have I begotten you." Romans 8, verse 29. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Related reading. Christ, as the second of the triune God, possessed the divine glory from eternity past. Christ's humanity, through his incarnation, became a shell to conceal the glory of his divinity. John 1, verse 14, tells us that the very God became flesh. This flesh, this humanity, became a shell to conceal the glory of Christ's divinity. Christ's divinity is itself the divine glory. Just as God is light, divinity is glory. When Christ was in the flesh, in his humanity, his flesh was a shell that concealed his divinity and thereby concealed his glory. Because the divine glory was concealed within the shell of his flesh, it was necessary for him to be glorified. In Luke 12, verse 50, the Lord said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am pressed until it is accomplished." The Greek word translated pressed can also be rendered constrained. The Lord was constrained in his flesh, which he had put upon himself in his incarnation. He needed to undergo physical death to be baptized, that his unlimited and infinite divine being with his divine life might be released from his flesh. The Lord Jesus, therefore, desired to be released from the constraint of the shell of his flesh. He referred to this release in John 12, verse 24. If the Lord Jesus as a grain of wheat had not died, he would have remained the same. But he fell into the ground and died, and that death released him from his human shell. His incarnation caused his divine glory to be concealed in his flesh. But through his death, his glory was released for the producing and his resurrection of the many grains, which become his increase as the expression of his glory. The release of the glory of Christ's divinity was to cast fire on the earth. This fire is the impulse of the spiritual life, an impulse that comes from the Lord's released divine life. When Christ was baptized with the baptism of his death on the cross, the glory of his divinity was released. From the time of his resurrection, a fire has been burning on earth. This fire started from Jerusalem, and then it spread through Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Today, this fire is burning all over the earth. In his human living, the Lord Jesus prayed that the Father would glorify him, and the Father answered him by resurrecting him. Such a glorification is a transfer, transferring Christ from the stage of his incarnation into the stage of his inclusion, in which he, as the last Adam, became the life-giving spirit in resurrection. If we glorify a certain person in the sense of praising and exalting him, this kind of glorification does not transfer him. However, God's glorification of Christ transferred Christ from one stage to another stage. He was in the first stage, the stage of incarnation, but he was transferred out of that stage into the second stage, the stage of inclusion. In the stage of inclusion, he, as the last Adam, became the life-giving spirit in resurrection. Through his glorification, in his resurrection, Christ became the firstborn Son of God, possessing both divinity and humanity, and became the life-giving spirit, the pneumatic Christ, and regenerated all his believers to be God's children, God's species.